Read with me, if you will, in Ephesians chapter number 5. I want to begin with verse number 15. Now, we're going to be here for a while, so don't get in a hurry. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Would you say that's true in our day? And then in verse number 17, he said, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." The translators of the King James Bible were kind to us in this verse. The word unwise is the word ephron. And the word ephron means stupid. That's the first meaning of the word, stupid. Then further on, it speaks of being ignorant. But the first meaning of the word is stupid. Yes, Paul said, don't be stupid. Now watch the outcome of this. But understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Again, being filled with the Spirit is not something poured into you. But the word filled here is the word controlled. We're to be controlled by the Spirit of God. And there's only one way that can happen. That is that we loose the controls. And He takes control. If He's in control, things happen otherwise than what they would if we were in control. Now here's what he said we should do. Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. If you can't sing out loud, then sing in your heart to the Lord. If you can't make a melody outside, then you could do it inside. Did you know that there are some folks that can't sing? I have a preacher friend, so help me. If that boy ever hit a note, no one ever knows anything about it, including himself. And I help him in meetings, and I stand beside him, and we try to sing. I can't sing beside the man. I'm telling you, it's all monotonous. Every note is the same. And it's not even a note. It's not on the keyboard anywhere. And I've told him time and time again, "Well, you just shut up so I can sing." My wife doesn't like me picking on him. She said, "He can't help it." I know he can't help it, but he can keep his mouth shut. That's like my ugly cousin. I told her, I said, "I know you can't help being ugly, but you ought to stay home more. Have mercy on everybody else, you know. Just don't get out much." We can sing in our heart. We can be joyful in our hearts if we can't hit a note. And we do that by the Spirit of God. We're not drunk with wine. We're not controlled by something other than the Spirit of God. We're controlled by the Spirit of God. Then we're speaking and singing and making melody. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you something. Are you prone to give thanks for some things and not give thanks for others? Are we to understand that things that don't necessarily agree with our thoughts of providence, that those things ought not to be given thanks for? No. All things, good or bad, give the Lord thanks for them. Now listen to me, I didn't come to town with a load of pumpkins. I've had to learn to do this. From time to time in my life, I've had to learn to do. Thank you, Lord, for this. Though, and I try to be honest with God about it, though I don't necessarily like it at this point, yet I'm going to give you thanks for it because I know that this is all for my benefit and for your glory. Now, it's hard to say that sometimes, isn't it? It's hard to, when our bodies are hurting or when things aren't going our way and we would much rather it be another way. It's hard for us to say, "Lord, thank you for the circumstance of my life right now. Thank you." Do you thank God for your health? I try to make it a habit to do this every day of my life. Lord, I thank you for my health. Our contemporaries are going, falling by the way, going on to their long home, as our forefathers would call it. And here we are, still fairly sound of mind, fairly sound of body, still able to get around the countryside, still able to do what we really want to do. Praise God. Thank God for good health. I've buried many a soul much younger than I. Stood by the bedside of suffering much younger than I. I thank God for good health. Now watch this. We're going to get into this thing. Look at the next verse. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Submitting yourselves one to another. Most arguments and problems arise in the church because someone wants to elevate themselves above the other. Submission is something that has gone from our lifestyles. We live in a world of rebellion. Much of the rebellion, and let me say this without apology, don't come to me and say I'm wrong. Much of the rebellion in present day America has been caused by the President of the United States of America. He has led in rebellion against cops, against the Constitution of the United States, against anything we've ever stood for in days gone by. Brother Dave and I were speaking with a gentleman the other day, and he said, you know, a lot of Christians don't think you can be a Democrat and still be saved. I said, it'd be a hard thing to do. Did I say it or did I say it? Be a hard thing. And it would be to believe and to support what the platform of the Democratic Party is. I don't hardly stand, I just can't hardly see how you could be saved. Let me just take it back. I don't see how you could be a Christian. Saved people can do some dumb things sometimes. But I really don't see how you can be a Christian and led by the Spirit of God and be a part of what they stand for. Many of our forefathers and foremothers were Democrats. But I guarantee you this, they wouldn't be today. They wouldn't be today. Submitting. Submission is exactly opposite of rebellion. Now watch this. Look on down to verse 25. Look verse 23 first, or 22. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. One of the hardest things in the world for a woman to do in this generation is be submissive to her husband. You know why? Because we live in this age of rebellion. There was a time when no questions were asked. It's just that way. They understood that. But today, they've moved out from under that cloud of submission and become their own boss in whatever they want to do. I've always said to people, the people that I've pastored, don't fool with my wife. She is a liberated woman. Don't try to tie her down and give her... No. She is a liberated woman. A woman ought to enjoy being a woman, first of all, and being a wife, secondly. It ought not be a cumbersome thing. It ought not be something that she has to duck every once in a while, wondering if he's going to hit her. No. Listen, women are not punching bags. They're not whipping post. They're not if you take your wrath out on. God gave you a woman as a mate, a helpmate. Let me go further. It is a helpmeet, which means that she meets your needs and you meet her needs. Spirit-led women are submitted women. Spirit-led men are loving men. How about that? Did you ever wonder why God didn't say in this passage for the wife to love her husband? If you know the Scripture, you know the reason for that. A woman is an emotional being. She'll love you today and hate you tomorrow. I've always said a woman can run her fingers through your hair and tell you how much she loves you and pour strychnine in your coffee at the same time. She's an emotional being. You better understand that. The Lord tells us to dwell with them according to knowledge. You better know that she's emotional. And you better understand that and be able by the grace of God to love her when she's outside what she ought to be and love her when she's inside what she ought to be. Husbands, love your wives. Love them. Why? Because they're your wives. You don't need another reason. She's your wife. Love her. And he gives the parallel as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Verse number 1 of chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Not a lot of children here, but I'm going to tell you something. Being obedient to parents is one of the reasons my health is what it is today. I didn't do everything right, but I honored my mom and my daddy. I was halfway around the world, far enough to where my daddy couldn't reach me with his hand, but his prayers were reaching me. I knew my daddy was praying for me, and I wasn't about to do anything to dishonor that man. Right. Honor your mama and your daddy. You don't have but one. I was standing at the hangar one day, and some of the men of the church came down, and one of them had his dad with him. And he just bought a new pickup truck, and they got out of the truck, and his dad leaned up on the fender of that pickup truck. And he said, "Daddy, don't lean on my truck." Before I knew what I'd done, I jerked him around the corner. And I said, "Listen, you can buy a new truck. You can't buy a new daddy."
Amen.
Tears began to well up in his eyes. He ran out there and hugged his daddy. Hey, you can't replace him when he's gone. You can't replace her when she's gone. They're precious. God gave them to you. Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Don't make your children angry. You can do that, you know. Just aggravating them to death. You know kids can get aggravated. Can you get aggravated?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, they can too. Enough's enough. Play with them, enjoy them. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Don't make them angry. When they're angry, they act like you do. Then he talks about servants and masters. Then finally he says in verse number 10 of chapter 6, "My brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might." Now here's the secret. Put on the whole armor of God. Now we're going to deal with this over a period of time. But first of all, I want you to step back, if you will, to Acts chapter number 1. Here in verse number 8, every Pentecostal has quoted this backwards all of his life. "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me." Remember our brother's message this morning. "And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth." I want you to underscore that word witness. That word witness is the word martyr. Now I guarantee you the vast majority of you folks didn't know that. "And ye shall be martyrs unto me." What is a martyr? A martyr is one who willingly gives up his life for the cause of Christ. "And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be my martyrs." Now, if I'm reading this right, and if I'm not, then you correct me. But if I'm reading this right, that means that after the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you belong to Him entirely. You become a martyr. That means your life is in His hands. It is anyhow. But your life is in complete control of the Lord God Almighty. Let me say this to you. In John chapter number 14 and in John chapter 16, and we'll not go there at this point, but in both places Jesus promised the disciples that the Spirit was coming. In chapter number 16 he says, "Another Comforter, And he said, it's expedient for you that I go away. Can you believe that? Jesus said, it's better for you if I go away. Let me make a statement here. It's better that he is gone. Yeah. You and I are better off because he's gone and his spirit has come. Yeah. Now that's what Jesus said when he said to the disciples, it's expedient for you. It's better for you if I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I go, the Father's going to send the Comforter. And the very fact that he sent the Comforter, you see, Jesus was in a body. He could only be at one place at any particular time. Remember what both of the sisters of Lazarus said to him? Had you been here? Now, in the light of that, let me make another statement. We have often said, oh, if Jesus were here, he is here. He is not only a paraclete, which means one called alongside to help. He is indwelling the believer. We have within us powers that we have never exercised. We have peace that we have never enjoyed. We have privileges that we can only imagine. And even those, Paul said, we can't really get it all together. For eye hath not seen, and ear hath not heard, and neither hath entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love it. But you and I have a companion, both within and without, consistently with us. If we are spirit-led, we never have to wonder about what we should do next. We never, never have to worry as to whether or not God's going to care for us in this circumstance. The Holy Ghost, as our partner, may I say, as our partner in this walk, is revealing to us the power of God, the pleasures of God, what He would have us do. And the providence of God is an ever-present reality with us. In that I mean that we never wonder as to whether God's in control of this situation. Wherever you go, He goes. And He doesn't go just to be there. He goes to be your partner wherever you are. He goes as our protector. When the disciples, after the day of Pentecost, after the Spirit had come, after the Holy Ghost had come to dwell inside this infant church, when they went to preach, they no longer feared those about them. They had but one chore, and that was to please God. To please God. Is it important in the world in which we live today, is it important that we have His protection? Yes. It is probably more important today that I have His protection than it was when I was in Vietnam. There, at least you knew who the enemy was most of the time. Here, you don't really know who the enemy is. The Scripture says the enemies will be those of our own household. We have enemies of the brethren. We have enemies in the world. We have enemies that have been belched out of hell. All of those enemies are against us on a consistent basis. But if you know Him and you know that He is ever with you, you can lay your head on the pillow at night and have no problems drifting off to sleep. Because you know the guard is ever on the scene. Can you imagine? Now think with me for a moment. Can you imagine the power of this Spirit that dwells within us? This is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. This is the Spirit of the man who raised the dead, who calmed the seas, who caused deaf ears to hear, blind eyes to see, dumb tongues to talk. I might say to you that the minister of the Spirit today is not to profoundly exercise those things through us. But the ministry of the Spirit today is to assure our hearts before Him and to magnify the Christ of glory through us. When I feel fear, I know that I'm not dependent upon the Lord Jesus. I was preaching in a meeting some years ago with some of the biggest names in the country. The young preacher sitting beside me, he said, "Are you nervous?" I said, "Not a bit." He said, "Boy, I wouldn't want to have to get up after that man and preach." I said, "Why? The same spirit that's in him is in me. I have the same power he has. And I can stand wherever God puts me at any hour, any day, and do what God has for me to do. I fear my own weaknesses, but when I am weak, He is strong. When I realize that I can't do it myself, I lean more upon Him." Are you listening to me? We try to do it ourselves. He'll let us do it ourselves. But when we realize we can't and we lean on Him, then He is more powerful than ever before to perform the task that's before us. "And ye shall receive power." Do you know what the church has done today? We've forgotten that dynamite. We've forgotten that we have that power. Do you realize that the church is more powerful in this world today than any part of the armed forces or any conglomerate of the armed forces? All the armed forces put together, the church of the living God is more powerful, and we act like a bunch of weaklings. Where is the courage that the early church had? We're dependent upon ourselves rather than upon the Holy Ghost. When we once again put our dependence upon the Paraclete, when we once again realize that He's here to empower us to magnify Christ in this world, then we'll do so with great expertise. We'll do so because we know that it's not we that are doing it, but it is He that is doing it. "And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be martyrs." Here's my life. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. We've forgotten those old songs that really spoke to our hearts, that really gave us something to live for. Put the vinegar in our being and caused us to realize, hey, we're not some little red-headed stepchild been thrown out the back door. No, no, no. We're the children of the God of glory. We are empowered by the same Spirit of the Lord Himself. The Holy Ghost is abused and misused in most of our lives. Not just most churches, but most of our lives. I'm sure that all of us, I know that I have, I've grieved God's Spirit. I hope I haven't, but I've probably quenched His Spirit. And in doing so, God just kind of lets you hang out there by yourself for a while. And you pray and the heavens are brass. You read your Bible and nothing comes from it. It just looks like black words on white paper. It's not the way it was before. Our communion with God is not anywhere near like it was. And oftentimes we wonder why. Now I'm aware that God lets us walk through some dry spells. And He does so in order that we might learn to trust Him. Why do you think God left the children of Israel in the wilderness for 40 years? It wasn't just to slay that outfit that were unbelievers, but it was to train that younger crowd to trust Him. Believe what He says. For the most part, we don't even believe what He says. We wonder, is that really true? Oh, I know it's in the Bible, but is it really true? One of the first things we need to do as believers is to understand that we believe everything, not just part of it. Whatever He says. Now, I'm keenly aware that there are passages in this Bible that are distinctly for the Jews. And those passages need not be applied to the church. There are passages for the church. Those passages need not be applied to the Jew. I've often said, I'm grateful to God that I'm birthed this side of the cross. I'm glad I'm not under the bondage of that side of the cross. By the grace of God, we're under the liberty of this side of the cross. One of the greatest things God ever done for you is let you be birthed this side of Calvary. Now listen to me, and I'm closing. Our lives, without being Spirit-led, are lifeless. Somebody asked me the other day, he said, you ever seen the walking dead? I said, I see them every Sunday. They're talking about some kind of crazy television program or something. But I'm talking about the church. I see them all over this country. Walking dead. They're walking around, seem to have life physically, but there is no spiritual life about them. God's Holy Ghost is a life giver. God's Holy Ghost has awakened us from the dead, brought us into the land of the living. Now, as the children of God, we ought to echo that very truth. I'm alive. Thank God I'm alive.
Praise the Lord.
I live not from without, but from within.
Yes.
Amen. Our spiritual lives have a different source entirely. I want to say this too, that our spiritual life is more important than our physical life. One of these days our physical life is going to cease. I'm looking at folks right now. But this time next year, you'll not be here. I may not be here. That's all in the hands of God. I've had to remind doctors time and time again, that's not in your hand. Start giving dates and so on and so forth. Remind me of this outfit of preachers trying to set dates for the rapture. It's not in your hands as to when. It's in God's hands. The book of Job says that our days are numbered, that God knows the days, and we're not going to pass by those days. Well, I don't believe that. Well, I believe that. That's what the book says. And when it's God's time, you're checking out, and no doctor's going to stop that. Are you listening? When it's God's time, you're checking out. By the way, you're not going to check out until it is God's time.
Right.
I've often said if I'd known the providence of God, I'd have won the Vietnam War single-handed, by myself and nobody with me.
Yeah.
I'd have known I'd be here tonight. But you see, in conflict, we don't know the outcome. In our daily lives, we don't know the outcome.
Right.
We only know that God knows. And we know that however it works out, it's for our benefit and His glory. Oh, Holy Ghost, one more time, fill us with the fire that we need to carry on. I'm not talking about judgment. I'm talking about the power of God to carry on and do what He'd have us to do in this generation. Wouldn't it be great if we in this building tonight would just surrender our being to the Lord God and say, good Holy Ghost, take control of this area. We need to pause somewhere. Let's do it somewhere this week. Let's just pause long enough to say, Lord, here's an area. Remember I talked about a room last week. Here's an area in my life that I've kind of kept reserved. I want to give that to you. I want you to take control of that. Here's an area that I've kind of been shy about. Lord, take control of that. Do you realize that you can do absolutely nothing spiritual without the Holy Ghost? Everything you do without the Holy Ghost is done in the flesh, and it will amount to absolutely nothing in eternity. Oh, it may amount to something here. We're seeing massive moves of the flesh around this country, people being entertained and brought into places that they call places of worship. And they are, because they're worshiping gods of their own making. If the Holy Spirit ever walked in there one time, they wouldn't have enough to pay the electric bill for a minute next week. Because you see, when the Holy Ghost comes on the scene, He thins things out. Those who are unwilling don't want to be a part of that. You know, if the Holy Ghost really takes hold of this place, you may see some folks shouting that never shouted before. Say, the brother Larry shouting is not... No, I didn't say that is a sign of being filled with the Holy Ghost, but it sure does help when you're full of the Holy Ghost and God's witness begins to speak to you and you know it's Him. It's not a whisper of the wind. It's a whisper from another world and He's speaking to you. Boy, I'll tell you right now, you can sure get loose-legged and begin to shout the glory. Nothing wrong with a good shout. We grew up shouting. We let this outfit scare us to death. And really, we've denied the power of the Spirit in our lives. And we've grieved Him rather than rejoiced in His presence. Somewhere this week, just take time to say, Lord, this little place over here that I've reserved for me, I want you to take this. Clean it out. Do whatever you need to do. Just you take control. If we do that, it'd be a different crowd coming in here next week.
You're right.
There's been a different spirit around here since last week.
Yes, sir.
I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but it's real.
Yeah.
The good Holy Ghost is doing a work in our hearts. Oh, that He would continue. Oh, that we would not stand in His way. Oh, that we would surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Submitting ourselves to God. Just saying, Lord, I know I can't do it by myself. I don't even want to do it by myself. You see, when you begin to realize the power of God, you never want to do it again by yourself. Lord, do this. Our witness is not our witness, but the witness of the Spirit of God. We'll talk more about that from John chapter 16 next week. But what a joy when He's in control.
Yes.
And what power when He is in control. Why would we miss that joy? Why would we live on meager fare rather than eating at the King's table? You've heard this illustration probably. Let me just remind you of it. When people were coming from the old country to the new land, the good old USA, there was a young man who had saved his money in order to get enough money to buy a ticket to get on the boat and come to America. Well, he bought his ticket and he got on board. He'd packed away a bunch of crackers and some cheese in his luggage. And when dinner time would come and breakfast time would come and so on, he'd go into his room and eat his crackers and his cheese. Then one day, about halfway through the trip, one of the sailors met him on deck and said, "We haven't noticed you being in the dining hall." He said, "Oh, no, sir, I just had enough money to buy a ticket. I don't have enough money to eat in the dining hall." And he said, "Oh, sir, you see, you don't understand. The ticket...
Yes.
Affords you
yes.
the privilege of eating in the dining hall."
Yes, sir.
"Don't eat the crackers and cheese any longer. Come on to the dining hall." God's youngers need to quit eating crackers and cheese.
Amen.
We've done that long enough. Yes, we need to go to the dining hall
yes.
and enjoy the feast that God has for us. God help us to quit living on meager fare and realize the riches that are ours because the Holy Ghost lives inside. Woo! What a glory.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
What a marvelous thing that God would put His Spirit in these old vessels of clay, and then for us to abuse Him and excuse ourselves and say, I can't do it. Well, I tell you, that's the way you want to feel, but you want to know that He can. And He's in here. And He'll do it.
Yes, sir.
For the glory of God and the manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not to bring glory to Himself, Jesus said, but to magnify the darling Son of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Oh, my. My, my. I'm hungry right now to get into this 16th chapter of John. I'd like to do it tonight. Some of you about halfway through it may be on the floor dancing. It won't be the music of this world. It'll be to the music of another world. Listen. The Spirit of God living in these old vessels of clay has given us power beyond measure. And a mind, are you hearing me? And a mind to understand the things of God. I want you to stand with me for a moment. My Heavenly Father, my precious Savior, good Holy Ghost, will you forgive us for grieving? Will you forgive us for quenching? Will you forgive us for denying the power? For living on meager fare when we ought to be living, eating at the King's table? Lord Jesus, take over the areas of our lives where we've tried to keep you out of through these years. Dear God, I pray that the Spirit's power might be magnified in this place. Dear Holy Ghost, will you use this mouth, these faculties? Will you glorify your Son and these in the pews? Will you magnify your precious word? Oh Lord, I pray that once again the church might receive the power that you've given us. But one more time, we'll not be ashamed to name the name of Christ. And may our lives be lived in such a fashion that others will see Jesus and the power of your precious Spirit. Oh, Holy Ghost, thank you. Thank you for meeting with us tonight in power. Thank you for the manifestation and the magnifying of your word. And now, Lord, work the work in all of our hearts that needs to be worked. Don't let us shake this off. Oh, God, don't let real conviction move away from us. But convict our hearts.
Yes.
Make it deeply. Deeper than sin's ever made us stain. My God, convict us now. Holy Ghost, don't give up in our hearts. But rather, empower us to magnify the Lord Jesus. Let it be so. Let it be so.